The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with your host, Jackie Pilosoff.
No one should have to go through a divorce feeling alone and isolated. The Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast is a production of Divorced Girl Smiling, where every show is 30 minutes aimed to empower you, help you feel validated and understood, and connect you with some of the best divorce professionals in the industry. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and start smiling as you join us right now for the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. Heard everywhere podcasts can be found and always at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Before we get started, I want to talk about something that happens when people get divorced. Almost always, they haven't dated in several years, and the thought of putting yourself back out there can be terrifying. Plus, the way people meet and date has changed so much over the past decade, and there are people getting divorced who have never experienced online dating. That is where dating coach Alyssa Dineen can help. Alyssa started her company, Style My Profile, to help men and women in dating after divorce. She has 20 years of styling experience, and she has personally gone through a divorce and dated online after divorce. To learn more about Alyssa, you can find her at stylemyprofilenyc.com. I also want to talk about a wonderful plastic surgeon named Dr. Jeremy Warner. He is a well-known plastic surgeon on the North Shore of Chicago. A huge part of his population that he treats are women going through a divorce or after divorce. And I probably know a half a dozen patients of his, including me. So I have known him for several years. I think he is so wonderful. I trust him. He's smart. He's personable. And really, everyone that has gone to him that I know has been so happy. To learn more about Dr. Warner, you can find him at warnerplasticsurgery.com. And you can find both Alyssa and Dr. Warner in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girls Smiling. Divorce is devastating. It's a destructive process. It can harm you mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and spiritually. It can also harm your children, and anyone who's ever been through a divorce will tell you it's not easy. So those are the words of my guest today. His name is Phil Lagelia, and Phil went through a divorce several years ago. Phil is also a mortgage lender. He is the vice president of a division of North Shore Trust. And today we're going to talk personal. We're going to get personal. I'm going to talk to Phil about his journey, what happened in his divorce, and his road to healing. I am so excited for this conversation. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Jackie.
So nice to have you here. Thank you for doing this.
I'm so thankful to be part of this with you, and I appreciate the time.
Well, same here. I want to let my listeners know that you have been in the mortgage business for 30 years. You started from scratch. And what I noticed about you, I want to tell my listeners, I met Phil about 3 or 4 years ago. What I noticed really in our first meeting and ever since is that you're a great, great listener. And that's really important in the mortgage business, don't you think?
It is. It's actually one of the key attributes you need to be able to serve whatever the client's needs are to the level of what their expectation is.
And not only are you a great listener, you're just a great person, Phil. We clicked from the minute we met. And so excited to have you here and talk about your journey.
It's hard not to click with you, Jackie, because your personality and your persona is just so welcoming. It was a blessing to meet you from the beginning, and I'm grateful for the friendship.
Same here. All right, let's get to this. So I want to ask you, I want you to tell my listeners, tell me, what were you like in your first marriage? So Phil's remarried, I want to tell everybody, but we're going back now 30 years to his first marriage. So tell me, Phil, what was that like?
I got married really young. We were dating, and in our dating, we conceived a child. And so in the pregnancy, and certainly my upbringing and the neighborhood we were brought up in, when that happens, you get married. And we went and got married. You know, we were young kids trying to figure so much out, not understanding, certainly I'll speak for myself, not understanding myself, not understanding the reasons why I would do the things I did, or certainly understand where my feelings were, or even what feelings were when it came to reflecting that into a marriage when you become one with somebody. And from the beginning, it was a struggle. My upbringing saw an expectation of the way a marriage should be. And I'm not saying that it was a great example or a perfect example, but it was what I knew. And my first wife's upbringing saw a different expectation. And we both battled wanting what we thought we wanted, struggling in how we communicated, and certainly how we dealt with those disappointments. And again, just speaking for myself, the way I dealt with my disappointments or my own struggles was destructive. It was certainly contrary to what I should have done in coming to my first wife. And instead, I went the other way. I went for solutions and wanting to be healed, or feeling of worth, or feeling of comfort, in all the wrong choices.
You might have chosen quick fixes, band-aids, bad coping mechanisms for being unhappy, right?
Well, yes, that's all true. But there was options that would have been the positive choices. Part of the challenge was I was self-serving. It was all about me instead of wanting to understand and care about what my ex was going through and the struggle and challenges that she was dealing with. And it was all a self-serving approach in a narcissistic, manipulative, domineering, intimidating way that unfortunately just created so much chaos and so much struggle and so much challenge that compounded itself year after year. I mean, Jackie, we were officially married 20 years. In that time, we went through four separate divorce processes that were just demonic. It just was so, I look back and I think of just the stupidity around my actions, the ignorance I had. And obviously, we'll get into where that enlightening came from. But I believe strongly I was in the right. I wasn't wrong in what I was doing.
All right, so I want to get into that. So let's talk about the divorce. So after 20 years, you probably knew, it sounds like from what you're telling me, that you knew you were going to get divorced early on, but it just took you 20 years to actually get there. So when you finally got to the divorce stage, tell me about that and any regrets about how that went down.
Yes, everything of it is, all of the way it went down is a regret. It was 3+ years. You know, the process was extremely damaging on every level, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and what the stress and anxiety brought, not just for my ex and I, but for our kids and all the family members around us, because of how tight-knit our families both are. It was a huge struggle. And certainly actions that were that come from that emotion in divorces are geared around the moment instead of the picture, the big picture. And those actions are meant to hurt, are meant to attack, are meant to get the better of, are meant to get a win. And I look back at the way things were done, certainly in the first 2/3 of that timeline. And it was just so defeating to see from the outside now of it already being passed, and how that all related to the struggles and challenges that we had to try to overcome once the divorce was done. The financial struggles, the emotional struggles with what the kids went through, our own emotional struggles and pain, how that related to other relationships, whether it's within our children, within our families, within new relationships of a partner. And it's why I say it constantly that it's just demonic. It's just demonic in its whole structure. And it doesn't have to be that way.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm here today with my guest, Phil Lagilia. Phil is a mortgage lender. He's also a divorced dad, and Phil is telling his divorce story. We're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, you're going to love the rest of this because it's all about Phil's road to healing and five things he told me that helped him change and become happy and healthy. And we're going to help you with those things so you can do that too. We'll be right back. Your head is likely spinning from all the changes you're facing. That's what divorce mediator Leah Hadley has to say about divorce. Not only did Leah go through a divorce personally, but she has spent several years helping individuals and couples get divorced and providing them with the tools they need for a happy, healthy post-divorce life. I just love Leah's enthusiasm, her compassion, and her extensive experience. If you want to learn more about Leah, you can find her at her website, which is intentionaldivorcesolutions.com. I also want to take a minute and talk about a wonderful real estate agent in the Jacksonville, Florida area. Her name is Carolyn Euler, and she's been a realtor since 2004 and says she's always been people-focused, but now Carolyn is focused on a very specific demographic, divorcing men and women. Carolyn is a certified divorce real estate expert, a CDRE, with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. So if you want to learn more about Carolyn, you can find her at CarolynEulerRealtor.com. And you can find both Carolyn and Leah in the Trusted Professional section of Divorced Girls Smiling. Welcome back to the Divorced Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. Today, I am here with Phil Lagilia, mortgage lender, Divorced Girl Smiling trusted professional, and good friend. And Phil and I are talking about his personal divorce story, and we're going to get into his road to healing and things that he did that we think that you might benefit from doing as well. Okay, Phil, so tell me, when was the aha moment that you said, you know what, or maybe it was just more gradual, but you listed five things here that you did to work on yourself and to have a happy and healthy life, which is what you have now. So tell me, was there an aha moment or was it just kind of gradual? The first one was God. So let's talk about that.
So that was the moment. It was April of 2010. Our divorce started in the first half of 2009. I had been invited to come by my uncle to a church to listen to a gentleman who was sharing his testimony in his relationship with Christ. And I looked this gentleman up, and at the time I believed the church and God was just all a scam. And it was certainly a way of being able to make money. And that's where my mindset was. My identity was always in how much money I made and the amount of my accounts and investments and how I was able to live my life the way I wanted to live. And so my thought was, I'm going to go to this church and I'm going to dress up in my best wannabes and present myself to this guy and be able to communicate in a way that he'll understand I'm somebody that he can share the secret. And I just did those hands parentheses when you try to emphasize something, even though we're on audio here. And the secret to how to do this church scam thing and make some great money. I walked into the church and I was raised in church, and certainly my parents were directly involved in the church, but I never received anything in that time. And I walked in and I had, for the first time, the song was playing to start the service, and it was as if somebody was on my shoulder speaking the words to me. I was raised in a traditional way where, you know, crying was weakness, showing your emotion was weakness. And so I became hardened in that. And I knew how to be a tremendous manipulator, intimidating and domineering, and making sure what I wanted happened. And so when I started feeling emotions that were certainly blocked off and dormant by design, it became very uncomfortable. And the song ended and I got relieved. And then a second song started as I'm walking into the congregation area. And that was too much for me to deal with. And I started crying. And I was so embarrassed. This was a church that had a lot of attendees. I just couldn't believe I was showing emotion, you know, publicly. My aunt had saved the fourth row. It was a large church, like I said. So we had to walk all the way up to the fourth row. My uncle wanted me to get in to the pew. I told him, no, I'm going to get on the end, because my mindset was, I'm going to get out of there as soon as I can. And as soon as I got in, I planned on sitting there for a few seconds and walking out of there, because I wasn't going to cry in front of anybody. You know, that's what happened. Is the part of the plan worked. My uncle walked in to the pew. I was on the end. I sat there for a few seconds and I planned to move and I couldn't. My legs were locked to the floor. I literally tried to make a move and the top part of my body went, the bottom part would not move. I could not move my leg. And then I just started bawling like I haven't went since being a very little kid.
Tell me how God and spirituality help you in healing in life and managing stress.
Well, from that point, it was different. It changed everything about what my life was and my purpose. And I started a relationship with Jesus Christ at that moment. And from that moment on, I've continued to grow that relationship and becoming more and more of a servant and somebody who, in my purpose, recognizes to love others with his love and to be present for understanding and helping in the way that Christ would. You know, there's such an incredible understanding of what the love of Christ is, and it comes in the Spirit. You know, there's a scripture verse that describes it so clearly in Galatians, and it's within Galatians 5:23, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those attributes define such an environment of just peace when you can give that to another without any expectation. And so that's how I cope with things. That's where my peace comes from. I recognize that my, you know, purpose is to love others with that love so they can see that there is goodness, that there is kindness, that people aren't out just to be able to try to do things for what they're going to get from it. And that's brought all the peace that I've ever needed that I didn't realize I was searching for, that I tried to, in belief that I was able to find that peace in financial wealth, just adultery.
That was the foundation for everything else. I want to tell my listeners that, Phil, are you Catholic?
I was raised Catholic. I am a believer in God's word, a believer in Christ, non-denominational.
Okay. So I want to tell my listeners, though, this applies to any religion that you believe in. So it applies to Judaism, Muslim, Catholic, Christian. What am I forgetting, Phil? Any religion.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of different.
And really what I'm hearing is that it is peace is what I heard. It has provided you peace because you are now looking at a bigger picture, a higher being, less control. And what you do have control over is what you should focus on.
Agree. I agree on that last thing you just said. I, as a believer in Christ, just like other faiths have this mindset, I believe Christ is the way. I believe Christ is the truth and is the life. And because of the way he lived and who he is, that means so much in what he did. That's the only peace that I can see. You know, if it wasn't for that relationship, I have no idea what would have happened or where I would have gone. Certainly, I would not have my wife today and the blessing she is. We're coming up about next month celebrating our 12th anniversary and our second marriage, and to continue to grow with her and love her in a way of a serving approach where her needs are first and she loves me and my needs being first. And when we have that connectivity as one with God, and you're able to get through the struggles and challenges in a way that is positive. You know, our marriage isn't easy. It's not like, you know, because we're believers, it's, you know, all flowers and fun. No, it's no different than anyone else's marriage, but we have the understanding that we are broken. We struggle. And yet I'm going to love you through this struggle. I'm going to love you through the brokenness, and we're going to come back. And in that foundation with God, being married with him in that covenant, we're going to continue to lean on him at the moments that we can't lean towards each other. And in that, we come back to each other because of his love. And that's the peace that we have with one another in being married together in covenant with God. Yes.
All right, I want to move on because we're not going to have enough time. So it sounds like God set the foundation for you to do all these other wonderful things in your road to healing. So the next thing you said was therapy. So you ended up going to therapy. You don't sound like a guy who grew up, you know, believing in therapy was okay.
No, that was weakness. That was. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about therapy. How did that help?
Well, therapy has just been a blessing for myself personally. Couple therapy. Again, it's recognizing that we're all made to be connected, and none of us have the blue book for doing everything right. And yet we have these resources and these support systems that are around us to be able to help guide us into that. For me, unequivocally, for my wife and I, it's the Bible and God's word. And in therapy, whether it was for myself going, which I did for almost 4 years, certainly my wife today and I have been in couple therapy together to work through things that at those moments of really, you know, digging in that are at odds with each other, having that other voice that certainly, you know, again, full disclosure, we go to a Christian counselor and recognize the importance of that being in foundation of faith, being able to have that voice to say that support that gets us back into that recognition has been a blessing. And therapy doesn't, like, you don't get to a point where, okay, I'm good with therapy and I never have to go again. We've had periods where we go for a while and things really are working and we go for a while without, and then we recognize we're having some challenges and struggles, and then we go back, and then we've gone back for a while and then things have really worked out well, and we've gotten to a period where we don't go for a while, and then, you know, and right now we're in a great period where we haven't gone in a bit, but you learn those things in therapy and you bring application, it makes you stronger and stronger and stronger.
Okay. What is so interesting about what you're saying, first of all, I love the vulnerability that you're willing to admit it, because there's a lot of people who would never admit that. And secondly, most people, I believe from my experience, wait too long to go to therapy. By the time they get to couples therapy, the breakdown in communication is so bad, the resentment is so high that it's almost unfixable. Because you waited too long. So to nip it in the bud like that is amazing.
Well, it's so important. You're such a powerful statement. You just said you don't want to get it so far down the road that the amount of walls you have to get through that have continued to build to try to get to that center of peacefulness is so overwhelming at times. It's why people feel it's an easier path to quit. And, you know, that's the thing that's so difficult. What God has used, and I appreciate you sharing what you said, but I want you to know my vulnerability and forwardness is because I want to encourage people. I want people to be able to receive this and to be encouraged and be strengthened and to, you know, help them and whatever it does to help them in their current position. I used to care as my identity what people thought of me. That was so important. And I had to create this facade of what I wanted people to believe I was, when in the truth, I was broken, lost, insecure, at times a little boy inside who was so scared he didn't know what to do, and he just had to continue to get harder in the belief that it was creating the perception that he wanted people to see when all along they saw exactly who I was. So what's the point of trying to pretend when he just might as well be forward and outward, and if somebody has struggled with that or doesn't like that about you, okay, that's okay. You're not going to like, you know, everybody's not going to like you. So,
okay, I want to move on to self-awareness, which is number three of the things that you told me helped you change and become who you are today. Tell me about how you feel about that.
Well, it was self-awareness of the triggers on things that would guide me into those destructive directions, certainly self-destructive directions. Obviously, that was a lot in prayer in my relationship with God through therapy and through my relationship with my wife. I mean, she's my best friend. And being at a place to be able to tell her everything and the vulnerability of that, and I mean everything, to not worry about her judging or reacting, and to her knowing that she's going to love me in the way that is putting me as her priority, as us one, like I put her as a priority. And in struggles of sharing things at times, it's what has us go back to therapy. That self-awareness of being able to have that piece of vulnerability, have that
But Phil, don't you feel like there's so many people who aren't willing to look in the mirror and go, huh, maybe some of this was my fault. It's so easy to blame other people. And so you, to me, are a very self-aware person from what I've known in the last 3-4 years. You know what I mean? Everything you're saying today, and how do you self-awareness? That's what I want you to tell my listeners. How do you get to be a self-aware person?
Well, yes, I can tell you that the mindset I had was, it can't be me. I don't want to admit it's me. And it's got to be everything and everyone else around me. And you create a mindset of that you live, and it only becomes stronger and more foundational in its depth to where you actually believe that. And that's where the narcissism and the manipulation and certainly the intimidation all comes into play.
And that's when relationships really fail.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So after you had this transformation and you just felt like, you know, you had this self-awareness and you were in therapy, tell me about how that worked.
Well, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, you know, repairing relationships. When you live that way for so long, you create such a chasm of distrust by the people around you that people have to take their time to get comfortable in believing you and this is who you are. And there's people still who don't believe that I am who I am today, and I'm still who I was before. And that's okay. That's not anything to be angry or upset to them about. I prayed for that peace to come and that recognition, not because I need it, because I hurt a lot of people. There's a lot of people that I hurt. Nobody more than my first wife. Those that were so tight in my circle that I destroyed on so many levels, I don't want them to feel that pain and hurt for their
betterment. So, Phil, did you actually apologize to them? Did you talk to them? Did you reach out?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so what I want to tell my listeners is, it's never too late. It doesn't matter how much time has gone by. If there's someone in your life who you feel that you wronged, or you weren't who you really wanted to be with them, or you feel like you might have hurt them, you're benefiting them by calling and repairing the relationship. But guess what? You're also benefiting yourself, because you in your heart will know that you are doing the work and doing God's work, really, to make these relationships right, to make the person feel better. What do you think, Phil?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, if you're taking that servant approach in your identity, the purpose is certainly in desire for those individuals to no longer have that burden of what they feel in pain and hurt, and to have it be able to be released, for sure.
Last thing that helped you on your road to happiness and being healthy was work. So let's talk about what you do. Now, you were always doing it, but you probably do it a lot differently now.
Definitely. Definitely. So much differently. Like I shared, my identity was always in what I earned and what my money was. And that didn't reflect well in how we would serve our relationships. You know, when you have that focus of what your identity is, and it's around your own gain, and this was financial, how can I best serve the relationships that would be part of my purpose and work if I'm not serving their need first. And that changed 14 years ago now to where it really is about how do I serve this relationship for their needs in the best way. And it just comes down to the way I would want to be served and knowing things that I know because of my 32 years now in the mortgage industry and being able to present, you know, the different options and share with what I would do and what's best for you. And, you know, Jackie, there's many a loan option that has come across our desk where we've counseled the clients not to do it because it's not to their best interest and to give them different options. We're in a position because of the employer that we're a part of, that we have customized solutions that are unique, that are not in the market, and be able to bring those solutions to people and really become a lifeline in their individual or family dynamic of what's going on and how that relieves such a huge burden that gives them the opportunity to keep on moving forward in other areas that they can grow and be stable in. That's such a blessing. That's the focus, right? I mean, God provides whatever the need is, not necessarily what aligns with my need. I just got peace in knowing that whatever he gives me, I'm thankful for. But my purpose and desire is to serve all those who have needs as solution-based in work now and solution-based lending in personal, in a servant of showing his love that brings that identity of who I am, which is in Christ. And that's the only way that I can see living.
Wow. I love it, Phil. And I want to tell my listeners, I actually worked with Phil on a mortgage. I didn't actually go through with it, but I got a taste of what it was like to work with him. And really, Phil, it was a wonderful experience and I can't say enough about it. So, all right, with that said, we have gone way over time, which I'm not surprised with you. I was just going to tell my listeners that you and I have gone out to lunch and they're like 2-hour lunches because we just have a lot to say.
We've actually had the waiter ask, are you staying for dinner?
Well, Phil, thank you so much for sharing your story. I love the vulnerability. I love the authenticity. I love your values and you're just wonderful, both personally and professionally.
I'm grateful for that, Jackie. Thank you for this opportunity to share that. And I just pray that everything shared is of help and support of whoever listens. And I'm grateful for you.
Thank you so much. Now, to my listeners, if you want to reach Phil, where's the best place to reach you?
It would be email. It's Philip L with one L. So it's PHILIPL at NorthshoreTrust.com. Or my cell number is 630-936-3245. Those are the two best ways to get in touch with me.
And Phil can do loans in 47 states. So this is national. So the only states you don't handle, I believe, are New York. Where else?
Hawaii and Alaska.
Hawaii and Alaska. So anywhere else, Phil, you can do business. So wonderful. Thanks again, Phil. To my listeners, I hope you enjoyed the story and the advice. We are here to help you. If you want to listen to more podcasts, read articles, find other trusted, vetted divorce professionals, including Phil, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you real soon.